Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Robert Childs, Chancellor of the iCollege at the National Defense University. Bob, I'd like to transition to your efforts to expand the iCollege international presence. Since 2010, the iCollege has convened a number of international and regional conferences spanning such topics as virtual worlds, social media, cybersecurity, and cyber. First, would you tell us more about these efforts? And second, what are the purposes, benefits, and lessons learned from each of these conferences?
Well, I'd say, number one, the conference and the outreach here is an evolving model. In fact, at the beginning, I will be honest with you, there were those people that said, why are we spending our time doing this? This is a building thing. The experiences that our faculty are getting, and it varies. First one was last July in Singapore, and we did one on regional collaboration in cybersecurity. And we brought in some very key people. We had Peter Ho, who was the head of civil service in Singapore, and we brought in the Minister of Defense from Estonia, Jaak Aviksoo. And what better person to talk about cyber attacks and things than the head of a country who was responsible for that. And he did a very, very good job. Plus, we had people from the U.S. Armed Services come in, and a number of the people from the computer emergency response communities in the Asia area. We had 11 countries represented. We had roughly 246 people attended that conference. Then, in conjunction with the AFSI International, we put on a cloud computing conference in London. And going back to our heritage, we started working with John Suffolk, the Chief Information Officer of the UK, and he was our keynote speaker there. Plus, we had Lieutenant General Herman, who's deeply involved with NATO and what they're doing in the C4I area. We just completed a conference in Dubai, and there we did regional collaboration in critical infrastructure protection. We had 16 countries, Middle East primarily, but we had people from the royal family. The head of cyber from Saudi Arabia was one of our speakers. But it's an evolving model, and as we put this model together, we have found that they're common problems. The problems are basically the same around the world. The issues tend to be the same with slight modifications to do with culture, budget, things of that sort. Around the world, the problems are the same, but they're at different stages. It's kind of rolling. Like, I wouldn't go into the Middle East and talk about cloud computing and virtualization yet. They're at the critical infrastructure protection thing, and then maybe the next round of conferences. So I said, you put the stake in the ground and people start coming to you. We're getting more business. And once again, it's timing and resources, because my resources aren't growing. I'm not getting more staff, so I have to figure out how to deliver courses, how to be more effective and efficient in that area, and do this at the same time. So you can see there's a wave that's going around the world.
So in a sense, to what extent do you envision the iCollege as an international incubator that builds the bridges of understanding, collaboration, and multi-level cooperation with global partners?
Well, we hadn't set up to do that, but if you take a look back at our vision, we say global hub. And we're becoming that. And the excitement after we completed Singapore, I was getting emails from companies that had heard about it before we put out a news release afterwards on what had happened, how it had gone. I was getting reports back from people that had gotten reports who had gotten reports from other people. And it's amazing. You talk about networks and talk about a global community. Mm-hmm. But there's a downside to that, too. If you fail, the word on that will go out very quickly, too. So we want to be successful in the things that we do, and we have to provide. You asked the question earlier, how do you know what to do? Well, these people have to define also. I mean, we can throw out ideas, but they have to define what's of interest to their area. Virtualization and cloud computing would not have sold in the Middle East when we did our Dubai conference in February. They weren't ready for that yet.
How do you identify locations and connect it to conferences?
Well, one thing we look at is we do look at U.S. policy in areas that the U.S. is interested in. We are part of what you would consider soft power. And this was a John Grimes concept that he started when he was in NII working with the iCollege. He was traveling around the world working on bilateral agreements, interoperability, things of that sort. And the logical conclusion that he came to was, I can work this hardware, software, but I need an educational leg to that. And the iCollege can do that.
Bob, the iCollege hosted a domestic conference on social media implementation across organizational boundaries. First, would you tell us about that conference, its high-level findings, and how are you leveraging social media tools to enhance learning in the graduate classroom?
Well, we picked that topic because that's one of the areas. NII is one of our sponsors, and we receive policy from NII, and we receive funding from them, and they're responsible for social media. And I know you've talked to Dave Winogrand, and they did the thing on the net generation and millennials. Well, we needed to do a conference in this area because we work technology and we work cross boundaries. So what we did, we had General Cartwright was our speaker, and he was exceptionally good because he's a big user of social media. He speaks like a CEO of a company. And he understands the enterprise use of technology, and he was extremely good. And we also had panels, and I mentioned Dr. Wells before, but Linton was a big part of this, and one of the key panels that he had was on the use of social media in Haiti and how it was used there and all the good that it did. The importance of this conference is to highlight the use of social media to the enterprise. And what I was headed for is, my wife's a perfect example. She says, what's all this blogging and tweeting and all this kind of stuff? You know, people are talking about, okay, I'm going to the store and isn't my dog pretty and things like this. Well, I think what you have to do is capture on Facebook or anything else for an enterprise. How do I use that to enhance, in our case, the learning environment? And we use wikis and blogs and things like that for collaborative space. And social media gives you that opportunity. And the purpose of this conference was to take a look at how social media could be used to advance the enterprise and improve collaboration within the government. So that's what it was all about. And there will probably be a follow-on, but right now I can't guess what that would look like.
Well, actually, I'd like to transition, it's a nice transition, into that topic because I understand the iCollege is leading DOD and operating in the virtual environments. For those who don't understand or know, what is a virtual world and what are virtual world technologies?
A virtual world, the one you hear most about is Second Life. And literally, you create a world with objects in it, and it can mirror the real world or it can mirror an imaginary world. The purpose behind it is immersion. In other words, we are not just texting. We are not just talking over the phone. We're present. I can see you in the virtual world, although it might be a mirror image, or it could be something else. You could be an animal. You know, people have different personalities. Maybe they come out. But you're more than an observer. You're a participant in that world. So it's total immersion. It's a presence. You literally react differently when you're there with somebody else. There's four virtual worlds that we're working with. We're working with USDA, our virtual worlds, Department of Homeland Security, and the Air Force. And it enables you, it's another way to collaborate and share best practices. You can either have chat in there, you can show objects in there. And we've grown now, we have 2,200 members. Once again, this is Dr. Peller and Dr. Robinson that have put this thing together. And what they're headed toward is, and I have nothing to do with this, they get all the credit, is they literally got this project going, every federal agency's involved, and they're looking, is there a possibility for a federal infrastructure that you could have where people could communicate and do this? Because right now, most people are behind firewalls within their organization. And it's really hard to communicate. In fact, educationally, we have a problem sometimes between the .mil world, okay, and the .com world and the .org world. Homeland Security has responsibility for one. Cyber Command has responsibility for the .mil. And then there's others that nobody has responsibility for. So virtual worlds is a possibility. It's an area where you could bring things together. We use BrainKeeper. Mm-hmm. It's a repository. You can put ideas in there. You can collaborate in there. You can do things, whatever. So that's the purpose behind it. The way I look at it personally, once again, my view of it as educationally, I'm not sure we're all going to be avatars or do this, but it's a great learning vehicle now, and I don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But it's worth playing in the space until we find out what's going to happen with it. I mean, take a look at your movie industry today and how they've blended reality. I mean, anymore in a movie, you don't only have special effects, but you have real people, you have likenesses of real people, you have avatars. It's really hard to discern reality anymore.
Well, it's a nice transition, Bob, because I'd like to know more about the Federal Consortium for Virtual Worlds. How does it explore the use of virtual worlds in the government to enrich collaboration and the online experience?
Well, I think, number one, it's not cheap. When you build worlds and do things, it's not cheap. So I think when you have a consortium, you have a number of people thinking together. So you have both monetary, resource, and intellectual collaboration going on. You have different organizations talking together, and it may be about creating a virtual world, but they could be talking about the problems they have that they want to solve through the virtual world. So you've created relationships that might not be there. And I'm into relationships. Anything that creates a relationship, like take this radio broadcast, for example. If somebody hears this and thinks, boy, the NDUI college is doing something neat in virtual worlds or international relations or something, and they want to be part of it, we've created a connection there.
Well, Bob, we have four generations now in the workplace, and government leaders face challenges on how best to organize, operate, and execute their mission most effectively in this context. Would you elaborate on your efforts to meet the challenge of a changing workforce?
Well, I've thought a lot about this. And there's some issues that we face as a college. We have certain requirements for people to take courses. And we're going to have to relook this because they have to be a certain grade, a GS-12 or above, a major or above. Is that right? Some younger people have some very, or lower grades have some very important responsibilities and could use what we have. And Admiral Stavridis has talked to me about this. The argument about millennials and that generation, Generation X, you know, Generation Y, I don't really buy that. The more I look at that, there's people that are baby boomers that are incredibly talented in using social media, and there's millennials that aren't. On the other hand, I have to admit that what I'm seeing in the workplace is people say, and I've been to a lot of conferences and talked to people where they say, my corporation doesn't allow me to use an iPad, but by golly, I'm going to use one anyway. And the discussion goes on, but this is the same discussion that I heard years ago about BlackBerries. I remember sitting in a meeting with the CIO from GAO, and he's going, there's this thing people have called a BlackBerry, and they want to know if we'll put it on the system or let them use it. Well, I think that's the way we're headed with netbooks and iPads and things of this sort. It's going to happen. I think the question is, does the enterprise support it? Do we provide money for the people to buy these things, or do we just say it's okay, or do we know that they're doing it and turn our head? Of course, the network administrators, the information assurance people, worry about this because it causes vulnerabilities. There's many vulnerabilities in virtual worlds too. So I don't have the answer to that, but it's all out there. But I do not buy the fact that the younger generation is way better than the older generation in using the devices. In fact, I could make the argument that some of the older generation makes better use of the devices for mission. Exactly.
What does the future hold for NDU's iCollege? We will ask its chancellor, Dr. Robert Childs, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.